This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon. It is Monday, November 25th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome back in the start of work week and back to school. A shortened week for many of us, as it is Thanksgiving week. Can't believe it. Actually, I can. Thanksgiving this year is the latest it can possibly be this year. So Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, of course, Black Friday for all those shoppers and whatnot on Friday. We have new content for you all week, but coming up on Thanksgiving, we have a very special Thanksgiving episode that we recorded last week in which I kill a live turkey and stuff it on the air.
So yeah, actually, we laid out this plastic coating, not coating, like a tarp over the whole studio.
No, I'm just joking. I'm joking around. You understand?
Okay, yeah, we didn't have the tarp.
No.
No, it didn't happen at all.
No, it did not. We have a special Thanksgiving show in the can for you, as they say. So that'll be fun on Thursday. And then Friday as well, a little look at Black Friday and some highlights from interviews that we did earlier this year, a conversation with Reed Galen a couple weeks back. Also taking a look back at our time up at Volk Field with Wisconsin Air National Guard, General May, and all the outstanding women and men of the Wisconsin Air National Guard for their annual Northern Lightning is an entirely different thing, as it turns out, for their Northern Lightning expeditions up there. So I'm going to bring you some of those shows coming up. Why is the camera shaking like that? I don't know. It looks like there's an earthquake in here. No, it is not. Candlestick Park. No, it is not. Anyway, so Friday going to have a special show for you as well. And then we're back with all new shows next Monday. On Friday, I'm going to the Wisconsin football game with my great friend Rob Wheat, who has season tickets and is kind enough to invite me along. See, that's what he does. His wonderful, intelligent wife, Maxine, she has no interest in this, you understand? And so Rob goes around and kind of does a roulette, a lottery, if you will, amongst his guy friends and says, hey, how about this game at the beginning of the season? And so this year, I was lucky enough to draw the Axe game on Friday, and it may well be the final game for Luke Fickell. No, I'm just kidding. I think I'm kidding. Wisconsin did not look great. In fact, looked less than great on Saturday down at Lincoln, Nebraska, taking on the evil Cornhuskers. Got to hand it to him. Matt Rhule and Nebraska took it to Wisconsin. It wasn't even close. And now, look, Wisconsin 5-5, Nebraska 5-5. First time by beating Wisconsin on Saturday, it gives them 6 wins. And in college football, Division I, you have to have at least, normally, 6 wins in order to qualify for a bowl game. The Nebraska Cornhuskers had not gone bowling, as they say, or gone to a bowl game since 2016. And so they're very excited, and I don't blame them. They get to go to a bowl game for the first time in several years. But you're 5-5, Nebraska. Wisconsin is 5-5. That's who you beat. And the students storm the field at Lincoln after they beat Wisconsin. I guess, whatever, I didn't think it was a storm the field type of game. Wisconsin, now 5-6 on the year, coming back in a shortened week because they play Friday instead of Saturday. They play on Black Friday at Camp Randall. 11 a.m. kickoff time. You can hear the game right here on select stations of Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app and hear it for free on stations like WRCE in Richland Center. So I'm going to this game, and of course, every Wisconsin, well, most Wisconsin fans, I think it's fair to say all Wisconsin football fans, the Minnesota game is a big deal. Longest continual college rivalry football game in America. Like 136 years. They used to play for us called the Slab of Bacon, and now more recently, in the last, whatever, 50, 60, maybe 75 years, Battle for Paul Bunyan's Axe. Wisconsin leads the series, but barely. A lot of pride in these two rival schools, Minnesota, Wisconsin. P.J. Fleck, called the Flexers instead of the Gophers at Minnesota, he knows how to rev up his team. They've beaten Wisconsin in Madison before for the Axe. And then you got Luke Fickell for Wisconsin, who I just don't know. I'm sure he's tried. I mean, no coach is going to come in here and not try hard. But again, I don't want to belabor this, but Barry Alvarez kind of made the way for his protege, Chris McIntosh, to take over the athletic director duty and made the decision to let Paul Chris go, not hire Jim Leonard, the absolutely revered defensive coordinator, who many people thought would eventually become head coach here. And Mac made a decision he was going to take it a new way with name, like image and likeness, with the transfer portal. And look, Fickell's got credentials. Ohio State alum, was the interim coach there, went to Cincinnati, took Cincinnati, who, you know, a Power 5 school, took him to the four team, not like this year, 12 team, a four team college playoff. But bringing in Phil Longo with the air raid offense has been a complete disaster. Of course, he fired Longo after last week's game. I just don't know. And J.J. Watt said this, the revered former Wisconsin Badger, went on a storied Hall of Fame career in the NFL. J.J. Watt said, look, wins and losses happen. It's not wins and losses. It's the fact that Wisconsin is getting blown off the line. They're getting out physicaled, as Barry Alvarez likes to say. They're getting out physicaled, not by Alabama or even Oregon or Penn State. They're getting out physicaled by Iowa and Nebraska. And we'll see about Minnesota. Wisconsin has a 23-year winning streak on the line in terms of how you finishing the season with a winning record and going to a bowl game. I think it's the third longest bowl streak in Division I football in America, 23 years. I think it will 22, and this would be 23. I mean, if you finish the season with the first losing record and the first time and not going to a bowl game in 23 years, and you were brought in here to improve the program, then people say, oh, you know, Todd, it takes a while. I don't know, Cengetti over at Indiana this year, that team was a complete disaster. No identity whatever, Indiana, next to none. Cengetti comes in here in a year. And okay, so they lost to Ohio State this weekend. Okay, so they're not quite at where Ohio State is. Oh, wow. But he's got 10 wins. I want the Badgers to do well. You guys know, listen to this show. I'm a huge Badger fan. I bleed Cardinal and white, even though I'm not an alum. But I think the Chancellor Mnookin has to take some hard looks. If the Badgers lose out, I don't know. Wisconsin has some definite gut checks coming up this weekend. Meanwhile, on the other end of the spectrum, our Wisconsin Badger basketball team, men's basketball team, 7-0. After winning the Greenbrier Classic, whatever they call it down there in the hills of West Virginia, they literally played in a hotel ballroom. A little odd. But the Badgers came back, big comeback for the Badgers against Pitt, another top 25 ranked team, who is also 6-0 going into that game. And Wisconsin came back and won, as you heard Mike Clemens say earlier, 81-75. Wisconsin gets the win, goes to 7-0. First time the Badger men's basketball team has been 7-0 since that magical year of 2014, 2015 when the Badgers went to the Final Four. I'm not saying already that that's where they're headed. I'm just saying John Tonji, the transfer portal kid they got in from Missouri, who didn't play much at all last year because of a foot injury at Missouri, he is phenomenal. People are saying it may be the best pick out there in terms of transfer portal of any place in college basketball. Greg Gard, nicknamed the Silent Assassin, getting to Dillon. John, just a great kid, it seems like. Going to play the clip for you. Here's John Tonji talking about what it means to be now playing for Wisconsin, and then Coach Greg Gard afterwards. Here's Tonji after winning this weekend.
It means everything to me. I think I want this to be, you know, the place I come back to and visit after I'm done playing college. I want this to be my home after. So, you know, I only have a limited amount of time, but I just want my teammates to know, you know, that I'm here to, you know, build lifelong relationships. And I think they've embraced me and the city's embraced me. And I'm just doing everything I can to compete for the, you know, name on the front of the jersey. And it's been amazing so far.
It's like he's been here 4 years. I mean, he's fit in perfectly within the culture, because he's a really good person and he cares about his team, he cares about winning, and I tell him all the time, I mean, not him, but as I address the team, you know, as long as you keep those things as your primary focus about the team and winning, the individual accolades will come. But if you try to flip it the other way and try to go chase the individual things, and that's why we are very selective in the portal. We're selective in high school recruiting. I think you have to be selective because you want to make sure you have people in your program that are about, have the right mindset, have the mindset of helping their teammates. And obviously you have to have talented players, but you have to have talented players who are willing to immerse themselves within the fabric of the team. And John's done that, you know, terrifically. And he's taken coaching. You know, he doesn't have all the answers. He asks great questions. I get after his butt. And I sat him down the first half when he got back cut, and then he went to the other end, took a bad shot, and then traveled. And I was like, hey, you know, just get back to being us, what makes us good. And, you know, he settled down a little bit more there in the first half, and then obviously the second half played really, really well. But, you know, you don't do that. You don't rebound from not a great start and me pulling him out if your mind's on the wrong things. So his mind is on the right things, and he's able to refocus and go back in and try to help our team, which you did a really good job of.
Head coach of the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team, Greg Gard, preceding that, his new star transfer, senior John Tonji. See that? Gard goes after really good people that fit the program. Hasn't deviated from that. And guess what? It works. Back with more little news for you. Turns out some of the Trumpster's picks are not setting well with everyone. We'll explain your phone calls as well. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, November 25th, 2024. Taking a look at news headlines over the weekend, making news from this morning. Good old DVO, Derek Van Odwin, as Trigvy Olsen likes to call him, Congressman Derek Van Orton, Republican of the 3rd District, newly reelected, wasting no time this morning. And this is a little different take. Going after Donald Trump, or at least one of his picks. The pick is for Surgeon General Dr. Janet Neshawat. Hope I pronounced that name correctly. I apologize if I'm not. Dr. Janet Neshawat, Fox News medical contributor, has an MD, apparently. People this morning, overnight this morning, from the right, not from the left, from the right, going after Dr. Nesselwat, saying that it's a terrible pick, should be taken back. Derek Van Orten tweets this morning, quote, I concur. At Dr. Janet has no business in public health. At Real Donald Trump got blamed for the damage caused by the horrible decisions made by medical professionals like her. Wait, time out. Derek Van Orten, an acolyte of Donald Trump, saying, no, your pick for attorney general has no, or for a surgeon general has no business, quote, no business in public health, unquote. So what is it that she has said that's so disturbing to the right? I believe Dr. Nesselwat served in a similar, like a Florida state health director, some sort of essentially the equivalent of the Florida attorney general. Has a medical license. Appears as a medical consultant on Fox News. What is it that has gotten the right so up in arms? What is it that Derek Van Orten is calling on Donald Trump saying you've made a mistake? Pull back this nominee for Surgeon General. Wait a minute. Just in, across the wires. We have dug it up for you. This is what Dr. Nesselwat was saying during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to encourage and emphasize the benefits of being vaccinated. Number one, it can keep you out of the hospital. It can prevent you from dying. Not only are you protecting yourself, but you're protecting others in the community. And when you become vaccinated, we can open up. We can go to concerts. We can go to restaurants. We don't have to worry about social distancing and masking if we all can do our part. So ultimately, if we're at about 30% of Americans being fully vaccinated right now. If we can get that number up to 70 to 85% per the CDC recommendations, then we can resume a normal lifestyle and it's going to be worth it to me. Yeah, I think it's important because again, only a third of Americans are fully vaccinated with these very safe and effective vaccines, Moderna and Pfizer, but we do have to get that number up higher before we can resume normal activity. I think that's very important. And it's also important that if you start your first dose, you get your second dose because there's many who are not making the appointments for their second doses and you will not get that 95% safety and efficacy if you don't get both doses. That's critical.
There you go. Dr. Janet Nesselwat, the Donald Trump nominee for Surgeon General of the United States of America. And that is why Derek Van Orten and other MAGA Trump folks, elected officials, are calling for Trump to pull back her nomination. I mean, oh my goodness gracious. Wait a minute, you're telling me that she's on the same side as Dr. Fauci and the CDC and that she was actually advocating for sound science, proven science?
You're telling me she's an actual doctor?
Right, for an actual doctor. I think it's just rich. And I think it's also representative that if you apply logic, how far out of reality some of these MAGA elected officials are. Not talking about your everyday next door neighbor, not talking about people, your local county elected Republicans. I'm talking about guys like Derek Van Orten, gals like Nancy Mace, people who are elected officials in the leadership of the current iteration of the MAGA Republican Party that don't, they don't even want to listen to reason. I mean, even Donald Trump and his transition team have recognized this Dr. Janet Nesselwat, which I honestly don't know a lot about other than until I did a little bit of research here last night, this morning. Again, has a medical degree, been on Fox, and was caught, and I use that tongue-in-cheek, was caught telling the truth, advocating for vaccination, advocating for using masks, advocating for public health. I'm assuming she also has a history of supporting Donald Trump, but in Florida, probably is very well known. Could ask Rick Wilson, I guess, who lives in Florida and knows the Florida Republican Party very well. But I assume she's a quote unquote good Republican loyalist. But what strikes me with people like Derek Van Orten is the complete intolerance of anyone who doesn't 100% agree with him or the far MAGA right. And so I would just ask myself, I've been doing a lot of this lately. Self-reflection, right? I think it's good for all of us. Does that make sense to you? Because MAGA, the right, they were elected officials. They love to say that, you know, Democrats are not tolerant. Not tolerant. And I've said on this program, look, I think there's some room on a postmortem to say, were all the things that were coming from Democrats, from the left, from people who opposed MAGA, was it well thought out? Could it have been said better? Was there some alienation? Yeah, I think that's all true. I think that's all possible. But then apply it to the other side. Derek Van Orten, not too tolerant here of anybody that, oh my goodness gracious, supports vaccinations for COVID. Going to come back, talk more, take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And there is even more disruptions in some of Trump's picks. We'll talk about it on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Yeah, pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, November 25th, 2024, overcast skies here in the capital city of Madison, Wisconsin. Good news, as Roscoe P. Coltrane used to say. You ever watch Dukes of Hazzard back in the day?
No,
it's an un-PC show now, but back when it first came out in the late, 80s, I guess, it was a hot show. Roscoe P. Coltrane always used to say to his boss, Boss Hogg, when he was happy, he'd say, good news, good news, good news, little buddy. Good news. No major storms, apparently, through most of Wisconsin for the Thanksgiving weekend. So that's great news.
That is good news indeed.
Because, I mean, it's always tough when you're on the road and you're going to be driving, stay on the interstate, or anywhere, really. And there's ice or major snow and that kind of stuff. So maybe a couple of snowflakes here or there, but it's looking like nice traveling weather through Thursday and then Friday. The bottom kind of drops out and the temperature is high as in parts of the state only in the 20s on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But again, it looks like not any major weather. So as far as like precipitation goes. So that's great news.
We should still play it safe.
Absolutely. Still play it safe. Sherry and Horican on Horican, I should say, on WAUK. Good afternoon, Todd and Aaron. Sherry, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Hopefully your drive back home went well. Little breaking news for you before we get back into the subject at hand. Let's see here. This is lovely. I just got a text from my dentist, and my hygienist is now ill. I can't go to the dentist tomorrow.
Well, that's fun.
I've been waiting 6 months, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine. This is serious news right here off of CNN breaking news right now. Special counsel Jack Smith said about 20 minutes ago or less, Jack Smith dropping his election subversion case against President-elect Donald Trump, seeking the case's dismissal in a court filing with the judge. Trump has said that he would fire Smith once he retook office, shattering previous norms around special counsel investigations. Quote, the Justice Department's position is that the Constitution requires that this case be dismissed before the defendant is inaugurated, unquote, Smith wrote in a 6-page filing. This outcome is not based on the merits or strength of the case against the defendant, unquote. Smith's criminal pursuit of Trump over the last 2 years for trying to subvert the 2020 presidential election and his mishandling of classified documents represents an extraordinarily unique chapter in American history. Never before has a former occupant of the White House faced federal criminal charges. Though the election subversion case culminated in a landmark Supreme Court ruling this summer that said Trump enjoyed some, keyword some, presidential immunity from criminal prosecution. Trump's strategy of delay in the case ensured that a trial never got underway before the election. Story is breaking, will be updated. Important to note here what Jack Smith is saying in this filing. He's not stopping the not asking for it to get dismissed because it doesn't have merit or not a strong case. It's simply his interpretation is that the Constitution requires that the case be dismissed before the defendant, Donald Trump, is inaugurated once again as president of the United States. Also, the fact that Donald Trump says on, you know, minute one after I'm inaugurated, you're fired, you're gone. And again, under this whole retribution thing, I think there's some serious concerns for Jack Smith. Will he indeed need to essentially leave the country? That's yet to be determined. But the big news this hour, special counsel Jack Smith dropping election subversion cases against Donald Trump. I would say not a surprise, nor was it unexpected. Because, you know, sometimes, my friend Sam likes to say, nothing surprises me anymore. If you live long enough, nothing surprises. But sometimes things are unexpected. I would say this outcome here, at this point, not a surprise, nor is it unexpected.
Agreed.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Welcome your phone calls on this Monday, November 25th. Let's go over to beautiful Sussex. Gary, listening in Sussex. Gary, thanks for calling in. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm working, so I got a job.
Hey, that reminds me of one of my former bosses one time said to me, we were walking around, and just out of the blue, he goes, yeah, you know what? Now is a real good time if you don't have a job to get one, and if you do have a job, to keep it. I thought, when is it ever a bad time to get a job? I don't know.
That's Dale Schultz, wasn't it?
It was a Dale Schultzism, yeah.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm working. I used to do concrete work, flat, like driveways and patios and that stuff when I was younger.
Right.
And that was hard.
Hard labor, right.
Yeah. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
And so I was a gopher for a friend of mine when I was just like 21 years old. And within 6 weeks, I said, oh, man, I really like this. And I've been doing it ever since. And then I was a manager at the company, and next thing I know, I own my own business. So it's good.
Yeah.
Now, back to Jack Smith. Mm-hmm. No, that's not surprising. And they said that they never really charged any president before. They should have never charged Trump, I believe. There's a lot of shenanigans that go on in the White House. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind closed doors with the FBI, with the DOJ, the Secret Service. The Secret Service probably knows more garbage on presidents than anybody else, you know, philandering around or whatever they're doing, you know. So, yes, it should have been dropped. It will never be brought up. He says it will be brought up after he's out of office, but that will never happen.
No.
And I think that Jack Smith's life is not in danger. He's probably going to be.
I wouldn't say life. I wouldn't say his life is in danger.
But if anything ever would happen to him, you know, he'd disappear, they'd go look back right at, you know, at Trump. So I think that he's going to be fine.
Well, I just, That part, I mean, I guess, I mean, at this point, I'm not sure that President-elect Trump is ever going to be held liable for anything he would do. I mean, I honestly think his most honest thing he ever said was when he said, you know, back was the 2016 election, when he said, you know, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. And he's essentially been proven right on that. I'll disagree with you, Gary, on, yes, I mean, you know, politicians that level, there's always things going on in almost every administration, maybe not the president themselves, but people around them that deserve scrutiny. I would suggest that what Trump is accused of doing by Jack Smith and the overwhelming evidence that he tried to subvert the 2020 election, making phone calls, trying to intimidate people, trying to get them to say false things in order to overthrow the election of 2020. I think that at least deserved the low bar for me is that should have at least deserved to be tried in a court of law and allowed all the evidence to come out and let a jury make that conclusion. But as you say, we'll never know.
That's right. You have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Gary. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving us a ring-a-ling. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I mean, the amount of evidence that Jack Smith had already made public in this case, let alone probably things, you know, discovery is what, it's the term that they use. Here's what a lot of people, I'm no Maggie Dawn, I'm no Matt Flynn, I'm no attorney, I haven't tried anything in court, but I worked for a law firm for a short time in helping prepare trials and trial documents. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, court cases are very rarely anything like what we see on TV, although it makes great television. Rarely does one side have some sort of, you know, nobody comes in the back door and the door, Your Honor, I have a surprise witness. I mean, because there's something called discovery. And so if you're being sued or if you're suing someone, there is a portion set aside before you actually go to trial called discovery. And what happens then is you basically lay all your cards on the table. And there is a stenographer, the person typing there and keeping a record, and you're saying this under oath. And so both sides' witnesses tell their story to each other, basically. And so you know, okay, well, you got, you know, Jane and John Smith here. They're going to testify to this, and Peter Jones is going to testify to that. And on the other side, you got so-and-so. You know, and so you hear what these people all say. And that's why so many cases get settled, quote unquote, settled out of court. Because once both sides basically know what the evidence is going to be used in trial, they go back to their client and say, look, I can argue this and I can argue that. But what this person is going to say, and they're much more credible than our side, I think it would behoove you to settle out of court. Either whatever that case might be. If it's not criminal, it's a monetary charge. If it's criminal, you know, do a plea deal. And so we don't know fully what was came out in the discovery process. Some of that's been leaked, but my guess is a lot of it hasn't. So, I mean, there was a show not too long ago on ABC. What's that great Academy Award-winning actress, Violet Davis, I believe, starred? It was called How to Get Away with Murder. And it was a great show, fantastically written. And it was basically how to commit a crime and get away with it by actually using the law. And there will probably be legal classes taught in the future, assuming our universities survive, but there'll be classes taught how to get away with trying to steal an election. And a lot of this, what Jack Smith did and how Trump got away with it through the delay tactics, will probably be taught. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Want to talk a little bit more about Trump's cabinet picks. And for top posts and their shared common traits. In addition to loyalists, Trump's picks are often inexperienced, unqualified, unknowledgeable Fox Central casting, and in some cases, literally Project 2025 contributors or authors. As a group, a term that comes to mind is a political clown car, really. I mean, come on. But there is a dictionary label for the government Donald Trump is creating with his appointments. Cacatocracy. That's a big word. I had to look it up. Cacatocracy. Webster, Merriam-Webster defines it as, quote, a government by the worst people. The term has been used to describe presidential cabinets, including the forgettable trio of Rutherford B. Hayes, James Garfield, and Chester A. Arthur. Use of the word surged during the presidency, according to those presidencies, according to Kelly Wright, assistant professor of languages at UW-Madison. The roots of the word cacatocracy go back further in history. It's borrowed from the Greek word kakatos, or worse, which is itself probably comes from the Proto-Indo-European word kaka, meaning to defecate. So yes, we are deep in kaka. Kind of a long way to get there, but you understand where I was going.
The cacistocracy clown car, as long as you don't spell them all with K's.
No, no, you don't want that at all. That's an entirely different situation. We're going to come back. I want to talk about one of these, one of the Republicans that's still pushing back a little bit here. Give a little hope here for people who might be disappointed with a lot of these, like myself, with a lot of these appointments. It turns out that not everybody in the United States Senate is willing to roll over and play dead. Donald Trump may not get a smooth road to hoe in terms of all of his appointments. Who is standing up might recognize their name. Don't go anywhere. We'll tell it to you when you come back. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Sniffing around every corner, trying to unearth the camel dung of politics from what is America's graveyard. I'm not even sure what that means. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know how a bloodhound or my friends have a beagle, Buddy the Beagle, and he goes around trying to unearth things all the time. And that's a little bit what we try to do here, just try to, you know, unearth things, kind of call out the crap, and cut right to the chase. That's what we try to do, at least.
We do our best.
8 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Zahmer is on board. Todd behind the mic. Glad to have you along. Now, look, we've been talking about some of these appointments, some of these nominees by President-elect Trump. And it's kind of a foregone conclusion that people think all this stuff's going to sail through. Well, Matt Gaetz didn't work out. That was a bridge too far. As it turns out, having a police record, a House investigation that allegedly had a lot of information, a lot of evidence that he had paid at least a couple of underage girls for sex, that he had dealt in not just, you know, something mild, but some pretty serious illegal drugs, other accusations that allegedly were included in the House Ethics Committee report. That was a bridge too far. And so Matt Gaetz had to step back. Pam Bondi, by the way, a Bondi girl. I don't know why I like saying that. Not James Bond, but Pam Bondi, is your new attorney general pick. Of course, served the same position in Florida. Florida has also been, I believe, a personal attorney for President-elect Trump. But here now, according to The Hill this morning, Republican senator on the DOJ political interference. Quote, I don't think we know that one way or the other. The headline in The Hill. Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma. Where have we heard that name before? This guy, James Lankford, by the way, is no just squishy dude in terms politically. He's a conservative, traditional Republican. Even supports a lot of the MAGA agenda. But of course, he had the audacity to help co-sponsor the bill earlier this session in Congress on immigration, which actually would have been the toughest bill in terms of closing borders or making them less porous, cracking down, putting laws in place in the last 30, 40, 50 years. Had bipartisan support. President Biden said he would have signed it into law. But we all know what happened. Donald Trump, and this is not me talking, this is Lindsey Graham on the floor of the U.S. Senate said this, Republican, that it was Donald Trump who stopped this bill. Didn't want it because it gave him less to run on. James Lankford, one of the co-authors, Republican of Oklahoma, said on the record that Donald Trump stopped this bill. Well, now Lankford said he doesn't know, quote, one way or the other, unquote, if President-elect Trump and his new Department of Justice pick Pam Bondi for Attorney General will apply political interference from the nonpartisan department. Lankford appeared on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday yesterday, where host Dana Bash asked him if the Department of Justice will remain free from political interference or pressure from Trump. Basically saying, is Trump going to not use his political pressure to have Pam Bondi, should she be confirmed as Attorney General, to use the Department of Justice to seek revenge and retribution? Things that Trump at least talked about on the campaign trail. Dana Bash asking him, Senator Lankford, do you think that the Department of Justice will remain free from political interference or pressure from Trump? Lankford said, quote, I don't think we know that one way or the other, unquote. This is one of the most conservative Republican members of the United States Senate. Not wanting to go on the record to say that, oh, no. I mean, we could be assured that Donald Trump isn't going to use his political pressure to weaponize. I mean, that's the word we've heard, right? The term weaponize the Department of Justice from MAGA folks. James Lankford said he's not sure. We don't know that one way or the other, he said. And what you're seeing over the weekend on some of these news shows and other places, people like Lankford, people like Lisa Murkowski, of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine. I get it. They have not always, especially Susan Collins, been profiles of courage. You know, Susan Collins, the Saturday Night Live sketch. Well, I am going to write a very strongly worded letter. And maybe, I don't know, maybe at the end of the day, that's all that's going to happen. But at least we're hearing, there are at least glimmers of hope that some of these folks are going to stand up. And again, seeing Tammy Duckworth, and it is, she's fantastic, by the way. Democratic senator from Illinois. Was a combat leader, a Black Hawk helicopter pilot, commanded folks, was shot down, gravely injured, went on to be an elected state representative in Illinois, and now a United States senator. She was on Face the Nation over the weekend. Fantastic. And she's saying that as a Democrat, she's talking to her Republican colleagues in the Senate and saying, look, they might not just rubber stamp everybody. The fact that John Thune became majority leader in the Senate and not Rick Scott, that is a win, according to Tammy Duckworth and the Democrats. Stay tuned. More on the other side. What happened to Todd this weekend? I will tell you after this. You're listening to Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.